How did you feel going on the ship, knowing that you had this allergy? Was there any concern, any anxiety?
Yeah, I guess I would say I had a little bit of concern because I knew a lot of the cooking wasn't going to be like dealt by me. So I didn't really want to be
Yeah.
that much of a, I guess, a bother. And I kind of just like calmed myself down. I'm like, well, my allergy isn't anaphylaxis, so I won't die if I have
Right.
peanut. I'll just feel really bad for a few hours. But I just made sure to like write it down on the form that they had asked for any allergies. Cause I was like, let me just tell them and then they can tell me how doable that is. So there was a little bit of concern, but I kind of just figured there had to be things that didn't have peanuts or pistachios or pecans or hazelnuts.
It's interesting. I think we've both throughout our allergy times, you never want to be a fuss, right? You don't want people to have to go above and beyond, but you do worry, is there something I'm going to be able to eat? You know, there's sometimes where I'm like, I'll just have these breadsticks because everything else is in a marinara sauce or something like that. But I did appreciate on the form when you apply to go to sea, they do ask about allergies. And so I had also put down my tomato allergy. And then I sent a follow-up email to the expedition project manager to say, just as a reminder, I have this tomato allergy. But I had also thought, well, I could eat rice if I had to for a meal. You just work
Bread.
around it. So when you got on the ship, what was the reaction from the galley or?
Yeah, the camp boss and everyone on the interior staff were actually very conscious of who they were feeding. And like when they saw me, I knew they had like a little poster on in their kitchen to like identify who had allergies and what allergies. So when I actually think it was like in the first week or second week, the camp boss Allie came up to me and with a bag of peanuts and was
Oh.
like, can I put these out? And I'm like, oh yeah, you can definitely put them out. And he was like, I just want to make sure that like it's not, I don't know, an airborne thing. I'm like, nope, it's totally fine. My reaction is only if I eat it. And I just like really appreciated that. And I think on my form I had said that it's not anaphylaxis. So I don't think he was worried that that would be that. So I just appreciated that because he apparently had talked to five different people to try to find me before he even decided to go ahead about it. And I really, yeah, I thought that was very kind of him. And it kind of made me more calm for the rest of the expedition because I was like, okay, if he's willing to like hike the whole ship to try to find me to ask me this one thing, he could have easily just like put it out and like just found me when I came in. He's like, oh yeah, by the way,
Right,
he could have easily
right.
done that. But he waited and I really appreciated that.
So I had a similar experience. So the camp boss is the person, of course, in charge of the galley and all the chefs there. My camp boss was Steve on the expedition for 4 years. And on the first day, Steve went around trying to find me. And we were all still wearing masks at the time because the COVID protocols were in place. So he went up to one of the scientists, assuming that was me, and she had to say, no, I'm not the one with the tomato allergy. But he found me pretty quickly, and it was so kind of him. And we just went over a bunch of different things, and I was like, it's fine if you have multiple options, I'm sure there's always going to be an option without tomatoes. And he said, well, let me know at any time, I can adjust any meals at any point. And I echo what you said, they really went above and beyond, and I thought we're proactive on this. And it's been the best accommodation I've ever had in my life to my food allergy. I remember I was on the day shift, so 12 noon was my first meal of the day. And it would always be, you know, a lunch, even though it was my breakfast, but it was lunch food that was out there. And the first day that they had tomato and cheese quiche, I remember walking up and going, you know, down kind of the buffet line here. And they said, oh, Miss Laura, we have a special quiche for you. And they made a quiche without tomatoes just for me. I hadn't asked for that. I wasn't expecting that. And I almost wanted to break down in tears. I just thought that was so sweet that they did that. And then there would be other days I'd walk up to the food line and I'd ask, oh, what's that in there? And they're like, oh, Miss Laura, that's not for you. And so
No, the interior staff, whenever you went, were always sort of aware of who they were serving. And I, even for like non-allergies, but like for preferences, like they like learned what I used to always get or what things I would more habitually go toward. And at one point I would always like, I think I was like trying out something. I was like, oh, like, what's that? And they're like, no, that has meat. Like, you can't have that. Like they knew, because I was also vegetarian on the ship. So they were already, like you're saying, kind of like knowing what you would want or not want or can or can't have.
And we were only out there for 2 months and they didn't have to do that, right? I mean, for 2 months, they just could have said, oh, just make sure you don't eat that. And, you know, put the responsibility on us to take care of our food allergies. But they really were the leaders, I think, in that, where they were making sure. And it's not just one person on the ship. There's multiple people with dietary preferences or other allergies. And they had to, on a finite ship with a finite resource, right? In the middle of the ocean, they were able to make these accommodations. I found it really incredible.
Yeah. And I think this story applies to so many people on the ship with an allergy, because I think there was someone on the ship that had an allergy to pineapple, and there was always like this dessert that would be fried pineapple, and the camp boss Allie would always point to my friend and be like, you can't have this, so that they would know not to go get the dessert without knowing.
Right. And so that's why when I was doing one of the ship to shore broadcasts, which was a duty both of us had, I remember there was a fourth grade class I did a tour for. And at the end, there was always a time for Q&A. And for this particular classroom, the students were lined up. I could see them. So they had the computer in the front of the class with the webcam, and a bunch of them got in line. And one by one, they were coming up to the computer and asking questions. And I just remember this girl, I'll never forget it. This young fourth grader came up to the camera and said, what do you do on the ship if you have a food allergy? And then she walked away from the camera, and literally my heart just warmed, because I had never been asked that question before. And I was like, well, I am the perfect person to answer that question for you. Let me tell you what they do here. Right. And I mean, it was fantastic. And when you hear young students asking questions like that, I felt that she was trying to see herself on a ship, right? Like, could she actually have this career? Is this something she could do? But she had in her mind this, what she felt, I'm sure, was a barrier, right? If you have a very specific diet, there's certain events maybe you don't go to or places you can't be. And I'm really hoping that my response to her that day was kind of removing any barriers she might have been feeling, that, oh, I can't go out to sea because I have a food allergy.
That's a really good point, because a lot of those questions that are sort of, I guess, out in left field, not typically following up on the drilling, is usually because that person is trying to either place themselves there or place a loved one in that position, because those are very much sort of reflecting either barriers that they have or something that they constantly have to be aware of.
Right. And so hats off to the entire staff and everyone, the camp boss, all the cooks, because it was really nice not having to think, oh, my next meal is going to be a bowl of rice or, pasta with butter, which was another big meal for me growing up, not being able to have any sauce on it. But I mean, it just more than enough food, more than enough options. And I never had a problem with my food allergy on the ship.
Yeah, definitely. And I also liked that they always had the menu up for that week so that you could, again, sort of anticipate what you might be having, like you're saying, whether it is buttered noodles or, I don't know, maybe rice with veggies, because they made it separate. But yeah, having, again, they were very transparent on what was being served. So you could always like find the camp boss and or answer your staff for questions or help.
Yeah. And they made sure everyone on their staff knew. It wasn't just the head. It wasn't just the camp boss. It was everyone. Every server knew. And again, I'm amazed that they knew our names, they knew our faces, whether we had a mask on or a mask off, they could easily pinpoint, this is the person, this is their name, and this is the allergy, and here's what we're not going to serve them today.
Yeah, and they learned it fast. It was, I want to say, like within a week that they knew basically everyone.
Yeah, the best accommodation I have ever had, seriously, hands down, in my life to my food allergy. And oh, I miss them. I miss the food. I miss the people.
Yeah,
yeah,
they were so kind.
Yeah, and so great just to be able to not have to worry about a food allergy while being on a ship. That's for sure.
Agreed.
Well, Tessa, thanks so much for this conversation today about food allergies. I really appreciate it. And I'm glad everything worked out for you.
Yeah, thank you. As to you too.